on, put your hands together. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. This is the day that the Lord has made. You can take your seats. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. We're going to give God praise. We're going to give him glory. We're going to tell him how much we love him. Isn't it something when you have a God that you love, that reciprocates that love by giving you love back? Who wants love, wants to give love and don't feel any bad? I know this week has been a week, every day I give to the Lord. Every day I wake up, it belongs to God. It's not my day, it's God's day. And whatever he walks me into, it's God's way. So this is a day that the Lord has made for me. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. There's nothing that's going to separate me from the Lord's joy. I know Pastor Keith has been teaching on several things, but last Sunday he taught on faith. And this morning I said, Lord, all of your people are concerned about what's going to happen tomorrow. They have literally allowed a man that has a little power, not all power. God has all power. Nothing happens unless God says so. Do not ever forget that man is given power by God, but God has all power. And as I listen to Michigan radio a lot, I'm a news watcher. I listen to all of the rhetoric that is going back and forth about this, that, and the other, and how this is going to take place, and how this is going to take place, and what's going to happen in the east and what's going to happen in the west. And my spirit calmed. The Bible clearly speaks about his people. If your ways are pleasing to me, none of these things shall come nigh thee. That's deep all by itself. I believe the time is coming when God's people come together to assemble in a house of worship. You will not have to invite anybody to church. People will get up, eat their breakfast, and be to church on time. Because the world is coming to a climax. And God's people will be the only ones that's going to be able to usher comfort into the world for hurting people. This morning, turn with me, if you will, to the book of Corinthians. But I need to get you to understand that you must learn how to fight. You must have a solid mind set when it comes to who you are, what you believe, and where you're going. The Bible says, let this mind be in me that was also in Christ Jesus. How many of you know that many people today have an idea that their mind, in their mind, when they seek to do something, God is telling them to do it? I think I've been around a little while, four generations of sanctified folks, great-grandmother, grandmother, mother, and now myself and my family. I've seen many people say many things that God said to do. I've seen many people that stepped out of the ark of safety and the prince of darkness, the imps, Because the devil ain't coming to deal with you because you're not on his level yet. He sends his imps to come and deal with the man, with man, because man it does not know how much power he has in God. We say, well, the Lord told me to do this. The Lord told me to do that. I'm guilty. I've done it in the past myself. How many times have you prayed? And you prayed about something. And you thought that it was the Lord talking to you. But you stepped on that, out on that thing, and that thing ate you up. That thing ate you to pieces. Well, Lord, I thought it was you. Come on now, you know, I'm a truth preacher. Pastor Keith, a truth preacher. I'm going to tell you how it is. This morning, I want to talk to you about the thing. The thing. The thing that constantly keeps you in a swirling cycle of not knowing where you're going. Can't find clear direction. I'm toiling with this thing over and over again. I've got this habit that I cannot seem to break. I've got this relationship that is tearing me to pieces. I've got this thing in my family that I'm trying to hear from God, and I can't get it. Let's go to Corinthians. I'm not going to be before you long. The thing, say the thing. Come on, say the thing. The T-H-I-N-G, the thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to start at verse 3. And then we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 11. It reads thus. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Say strongholds. Say strongholds. Casting down imaginations. Say imaginations. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity, say captivity, every thought to the disobedience of Christ. Verse 6, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith, I'm reading in the NIV, is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. The Bible says here, first of all, for our weapons are not carnal. You know, when you talk about weapons and fighting, when you talk about defending yourself in battle, me being a person that grew up in Detroit, when you talk about fighting, the first thing come across my mind, let's put these fists up. Let me find something to protect myself with. Let me find a way that when the enemy comes in, I know how to fight. We're talking about a natural enemy. A natural enemy you can see, can't you? A natural person that comes in your path to come to hurt you, you lay eyes on him. You're going to do everything you can to either get away from him or her or defend yourself, aren't you? But the Bible here, what it's talking about, Our weapons are not carnal. We're talking about spiritual things. How do you fight in the spiritual realm? I'll go back to a story when I was not so good. I was a little bad, young years in life. And my wife and one of her friends were praying for me. I was a devil. I was a D-E-V-I-L. And I can say that because I was. They were praying for me. They were battling in the spirit for me. They were battling for my soul. They wasn't battling because they were fearful of somebody coming to kill me or somebody coming to harm me, because my motto was, I'm a lover and not a fighter. Let's be clear on that. I ain't fighting nobody. So while praying in the spirit realm, they had to first know how to pray. They had to first find out what the problem was, what the barrier was, what the thing was. My thing was the love of the world. My thing was the love. I was a womanizer, player, from the Himalaya. That's who I was. And I'm saying this because I believe unless we confront the high things, the strongholds, the imaginations that we fight with, we'll never come to grips with them, and that thing will always plague us. So they were praying for me spiritually. Yeah, I knew what was right. But all along, I'm out doing my thing. You know how sometimes, when I can say, you know how sometimes folks, you know, your mother, grandmother, and I was married to my wife, would say, well, Vincent, I think you should stay home tonight and not go to the club tonight. I said, you think so? While I'm putting my clothes on, I'm going to see you later. But then when you get out there and you start driving and your tire go flat, or you lose your money, or something happened, because while praying for me in the spirit realm, I'm not listening. But their weapon is, Lord, I'm praying for this man. You said that whatever I pray in your name, believing that it's done, it shall be so. I need you to stop his path today, because we don't know what's going to happen when he get to where he's going. I'm driving, get a flat tire. Cindy, I need you to come and get me. Come and get you? Well, where you at? I'm right up the street. I ain't get to the corner. I got this right about a mile away. And while I'm sitting there waiting for somebody to come and help me, the thought comes across my mind, she told you that the battle that she fights is not natural, it's spiritual. The battle that she was fighting for me was not the natural person, because I wasn't a fighter. I'm not going to fight you or fuss at you. It's spiritual. I need to break that thing. I need to break that spirit of adultery. I need to break that spirit of lust. I need to break that spirit that's causing you to do what you was doing. Now, how many of y'all know that there's many people that have things, and those things are like walls in their lives? I'm transparent with mine. You know why I'm transparent with mine? Because God has delivered me from it. God has healed me from it. God has broken the curse. What was on my life? I have generations of adultery in my family. From my grandfather to his father. My dad was never an adulterer, but I said, oh, you just messed up. It skipped over to his brothers. So Corinthians says the first thing we need to do is understand that the carnal part of fighting is not where we're going. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, have people that you know that have things in their lives? How many people do you know every time you talk to them, this thing is showing up? I think relationships is a big thing. I think marriages is a big thing. I think adultery is a big thing. I think fornication is a big thing. I think lying, cheating, conniving is a big thing. I think all those things are large. But the thing that I need to discuss with you is your imagination. You know how we glamorize sin. You know, I have 7 kids, and it's safe to say I'm one of them James Evans type of fathers. You know, good times, James Evans? I'm James Evans sometimes. Because when my children come to me with nonsense, I cut that thing down to the root of it. When they come talking, nah, I don't care if you married or not. It makes me no difference. You don't like it? Leave my house. You don't like it? Don't come over. You don't like it? Don't call me and needing something unless you want to hear my mouth. Because unless we understand that we must begin to deal with the things in people's lives, because when people let you in their life, you know, how many know, somebody told me, when somebody count on you for something, that gives you permission and authority to give your advice, to give your opinion. Amen? When somebody always needs you, my kids, I'm glad to say, they need me, but I'm hoping to say, Lord, let them not need me as much. Hallelujah. The imaginations that we have and we deal with today. You know, a lot of young people watch the reality shows on TV. And last time I was up here, I talked about the imaginations that reality shows give to people, to society. Y'all know, in reality, there's no way possible you're going to have a man messing with 4 women at one time and the women know about it. Hello. It ain't got to be sisters. They can be any woman. There's nowhere in the world you're going to find anybody that know that is one man, he that bad where he can have 4 women at one time and they know about it. Hello? So why is it then that our young people, people in general, it's old people, people at work be talking, did you see, and these are Caucasian people, did you see the reality show? No, what was it? Jesus lived today? The blood of Jesus, what was that? They said, no, the reality show, where, you know, the new one just came out. It wasn't Power. It's a new one came out where they're mogul millionaires and they fighting over a record company and you got all kind of stuff going on. They sleeping with everybody. And the funny part to me about it is the imagination in their mind that makes them believe that this is really true. Now, let me back up. Let me say this. The Bible says, and I'm paraphrasing, that in the last days, we're going to have things like this. I'm paraphrasing. We're in the last days. But how many people do you know that's living like that. Think about it. How many people do you know personally that's living like a reality show? Personally. I don't know any. Don't work like that. That's nonsense. So Corinthians says that we have to bring down, we have to fight the imagination that the world has tried to place in our minds. I'm a historical drama guy. My daughter say that historical drama is of the devil. I say historical drama is the church from the beginning. Did you know that the church ruled the politicians? Did you know that the church ruled the kings per se? Did you know that the church was tied by everybody in their country, and this is why the church never was broke? Did you know that the church had the power to make senators? The church had the power to shut down whole cities back in the day, as they say. So historical drama means a lot. Did you know that there was so much adultery and fornication in the church that I was like, where in the world is this? Was this? I thought they was down at the Mozambique or something. Y'all remember Mozambique back in the day? You know, the Mozambique, don't live on Linden, the Mozambique. I was almost like, is this the church for real? But understand me, I'm trying to, Lord haven't allowed me to just bring the power message. I'm trying to give you the bits and pieces of imagination. In your mind. Now, my mother is 70-something years old. And when I talk to her, if you mention something in regard to sex, oh, Lord, don't say that word. I'm like, Mama, hold on a minute. Wait a minute. Slow down. Hold it. She was like, where's Cindy at? I was like, Cindy, Mom, we're talking about TV. She says, you know, when I was coming up, if you mentioned that, that meant you were thinking about it. Imagination. You see how from the olden days, when the saints of old, coming up back in the olden days, some things that we do today was not even thought of back then. Not that they wasn't doing it. It just wasn't as open as it is today. So imagination is something that we have to bring up under the power of God's word, because we must understand, unless we bring our thoughts into subjection, our minds will be everywhere. Y'all know how y'all drive down the street. Y'all riding. You know, and I'm one, just like coming to church this morning, a lady pulled in front of me at the light. I said, Lord, you know, I got to give a message to you people this morning. But this lady, I blew the horn probably 2 minutes. She turned down the street. I was still blowing at her. I said, Lord, I need you to help me this morning, because you know what? She could have killed me and the people who was driving next to me, because she was swerving in the turn lane. My mind, listen to him, understand me. Your mind is never saved. Your body is never saved. Your body, bringing it into subjection, your flesh coming into subjection, has to be a daily thing. You have to bring this body. I started to pull over, get out the car, and say, come here. Let you know, if she had went to the 7-Eleven, I probably would have went up in the 7-Eleven with her. Lady, have you lost your mind? Are you crazy? That's me bringing every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God into subjection. How do we do that? How do we win over the thing in our lives? How do we win over the secrets that we carry in our lives? How do we allow the secret places and the skeleton and the dark places rule our lives? And we all got dark places. I don't care what you say. Everybody has a dark place. Everybody has a secret place. Everybody got something. You know how they say, I'm going to take this to my grave with me. Ain't nobody going to know about this one. It's a dark place. But do you know that that dark place, every time the devil wants to get to you, he opens a door to the dark place and he goes in it and he pulls it out and begins to mess with your mind. If it's hurt and pain, if it's abuse, whatever the situation is, if it's a dark place, the devil can, he has permission because he can go into dark places. He's afraid to go into light places where the Spirit of God dwells. The thing. What is the thing? What is the barrier that's stopping you from doing God's work? What is the barrier, the imagination, the thought, the stronghold? What is the battle that you're fighting that's stopping you from doing the work of the Lord? What is it? I'm mad at the pastor. As a pastor myself, I don't lose no sleep. No. I lose no sleep about somebody having a problem with God's word. Forget me. I'm nobody. It's God. When God's word is wrong, then you got a problem. But if it's a person that have a thing that's stopping them, you deal with the person one-on-one and try to work it out with the person, not God's word. You don't penalize God's work because of the person. Amen? Let's talk about the thing. I'm staying on the thing because I need you to understand that when I was the person that I was, do you know how many years it took me to get total deliverance? Do you know I was preaching without total deliverance? Do you know I was coming, giving my heart to the Lord every day, every Sunday, sprawled out in the middle of the floor, running around the church, and I did not experience full deliverance? Do you know what true deliverance is? True deliverance is when you can get up and tell folks about your non-deliverance. True deliverance is when you can open the dark places up, pull the lid off what the devil has been doing to you and say, you know what? This is where I'm at in life. And I need help. Pastor Keith preaches about faith. Hebrews 1. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. The faith is the thing that's stopping me from getting to God. First of all, the Bible says you must do first things first. I'm not even going to be deep this morning because I don't need to be deep. First things first. I must deal with me first before God can give me what I ask for. Many people in general want something from God. You know, I hear people say all the time, well, God's love shine on the just as well as the unjust. Amen. God's love do shine on the just as well as the unjust. But the just can sleep at night when God's love shine on them. The unjust stay up all night because they're experiencing God's love and don't want to come clean and open the box up and live for him.
That was deep right there. Ooh, that was deep.
The thing. How many of you know? Unless you open the Pandora's box up. Unless you open the box up to what you're dealing with in life. You'll always walk around being a victim. The devil will always victimize you every opportunity he gets. Every man coming to your life for the single people, they'll see, she a victim. I'm about to run her. Where you work at? What you do for a living, girl? They can see it. The young men can see it. They can see a victim. They can see somebody that's living a life where they feel they're being victimized. They can see women that have daddy issues or no daddy at all. That's why it's so important for men to sow into these young women. It's important for us to show them and tell them, you know what? I'm sorry. He don't mean you no good. Ray Charles can see that. Or vice versa. Young man. This young lady has a very, 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 very long history of manhood. And I think you better run from her. When you see the victim in people, you must understand that they've lived the life of dark imaginations, of strongholds, of areas in their lives that still close where they need deliverance. And when they come to the church for help, what do? We put them on the usher board. We put them on the baptismal committee. We put them at the door. We don't deal with the thing, though. We must begin to deal with the things in people's lives. The things, what's hindering you. Don't come in here talking nonsense. I don't want to hear about what you got to say about nothing that's outside of what we believe. You can come to class and get that. Let's talk about what the Bible says. Sunday morning, we're talking about deliverance. We ain't talking about nothing else but that. I don't want to hear about your dog who got stuck in the tree, the cat got locked out the house. I don't want to hear about that. I want to hear about your thing. Why is it that every time I meet a man, I feel a need, I need to sleep with him? Let's talk about that. Young man, every time I meet a young lady, it feels like I have to win her over. I got to sleep with her. I got to dog her. I got to do. Why? Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the abuse you experienced in the past. Let's talk about drugs and alcohol. Let's talk about the thing that you do not want to talk about, that's imaginative in your mind, that's stopping you from going forward in God. Let's talk about that. You want to talk about faith? The Bible says, now faith is the substance. You can't have a bit of faith until you deal with the thing. And because you get money in a job, that means nothing. Do you know how many people that go to your job that have things that when they go home, they probably cut themselves, probably drink themselves to sleep, they probably drink, use drugs. Do you know the things will stop you from going forward? The church needs to deal with the thing. How can you do a miracle? Oh, I want to see miracles. Oh, I want to see more worship. I want a new and improved way of finding, getting in touch with God. Well, here you go. King James. You can get a King James, NIV, Amplified. You can get it any way you want it. Red letter, big giant letter. That's the thing right there. Besides that, there is no other way. This morning I asked you, cutting down every imagination. What is it that you have in your life? For me, I told you what it was. It was me. I love me more than I love anything else. And you know, I'm going to say this in my first closing. Anytime you are ridiculed, anytime you are cut down and people verbally try to destroy you, and then they attack your integrity and your character, you must understand that this battle does not belong to you. If you wake up in the morning giving your day and your life to God, He will fight every battle that comes your path. He'll be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway. By this I know that the Lord is with me, for He hath not allowed my enemies to triumph over me. People talked about me when I was in the world. And they talk about me when I'm in the church, while I'm serving God. But you know what? So what? Do you think I care? I have grown up in God. I'm a big boy now. He said He'll make my enemies my footstool. He said He'll bless me right in front of my enemies, and He has. But you must come clean with God. You must come clean, and you must do everything in your power to change it. You know, we can't have no little secrets. You know, when I became a minister, I used to love to smoke. Man, I used to love to smoke. You smoke Black and Miles. I put the Newports down. They was killing me. The Black and Miles was killing me too, but the Newports in my mind, oh, they killing me. Oh, I got to stop that. Oh, stop that. But I find myself smoking 2 boxes of Black and Miles a day. And Cindy's told me, one Black and Mild, one box or one is like 20 cigarettes. I was like, dog. That was crazy. Why you say one is 20, it's 20 squares that they call them? I was smoking, what, 4 packs of squares a day then. When we stop trying to hide and just come clean. Pastor Keith told me, and I use him frequently because he has been a big, big, big person in my world. I didn't know the man to start with. I knew nothing about him. But the God in him is what drew me. Understand what I'm saying? You know people that have God, that when you need something, the God in them just draws you to them. And through him, I was able to come clean. I was able to tell my story. I was able to say, you know what? I need to put this right, I need to drop this right here. Inside the walls where the people of God come to worship and leave it here. I can't take it out there with me anymore. I can't carry this no more. The load is too heavy for me. I must drop it right now because it's stopping my ability to move forward. The imagination of me, what I see, the strongholds. Deliverance doesn't come until you're free to talk about your deliverance. Cindy and I we've been through many, many things, as many other couples have. And one thing I can say about God, I already know that He doesn't lie, He doesn't change. That's a given. But He'll meet you where you are. Whatever state you're in, He says, come unto me. All of you, everybody that's heavy and burdened, I'm going to give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon, take the heavy load off of your neck and give it to me and I'll carry it for you. And I'm paraphrasing. This morning, I need you to understand that your success in God is not in your ability to teach, preach, play the keyboard, sing, know the word. Your success in God is your transparency about His deliverance in your life. And anytime people don't talk about bits and pieces of how God has delivered them, then that thing still needs to be dealt with. It's not about denomination. It's not about what church you go to. It's not about what religion you are. We live in the world. The world can tell you that it's okay to do things that are immoral, that are not right, that are just wrong. But we can't go tell the world, I take a stand to do what's right in my life, and that is to do God's word. So this morning, I asked you, will you deal with the thing? Will you deal with the thing? Will you deal with the thing? God is saying, I need for you to deal with the thing. I need for you to deal with the thing. I need for you to unlock the thing that's stopping you from moving forward. I need for you to come clean with yourself. You know, I say, you know, just be real with yourself. You know, many, I deal with, you know, I'm in social work, so I deal with people who use drugs and alcohol every day. And I go, when I go to their house, I see cans of beer and alcohol, empty bottles all over the floor. They didn't put a mattress on the floor, laying in the living room watching TV. And I go in, I say, hey, man, what you been doing for the last few days? I ain't nothing but watching TV, man. You know, I'm just watching TV, that's all. I said, so where did all the cans come from? He said, I don't know. You know, my friends came over and we just kind of, you know, I don't know, it's been there for a while. And I'm looking around like, oh, okay. So Not that I'm trying to catch him in a lie, but I'm trying to give them that reality check to say, do I look like Boo Boo the Fool to you? First of all, you've been drinking since last Tuesday. And all these big cans and stuff tells me that you're hiding the fact that you are alcoholic. You see what I'm saying? Does that make sense? When people can see your thing, but you still try to hide it as if nobody can see it. Does that make sense? Some people we can just see. Oh, that person got abandonment issues. Yeah, that person must have had some relationship problems going on over there. That got you too. You can see it. That's exterior. God wants to deal with the inside, though. He wants to deal with the stronghold. He wants to deal with the root of the problem, and that is your heart. Stand with me. I'm done. I often ask, the Lord has me in a mode of teaching quietly and softly, because I need for you to understand, you haven't been through anything that there's nobody else haven't been through. You don't have exclusive rights to your thing. You know, when the Lord brought me home to my family, after my wife and her friend, Pam Wells is her friend. Them two sisters, they prayed me into the kingdom. And they have true testimony, and my sister-in-law too, true testimonies. I was a monster, capital M, as many other people was before they came to Jesus. But we must understand, we're at a point now. We're at a crossroad. We had another defining moment. It's not about your job. Not about your DTE bill or your light or your water bill. It's not about your advancement, your career. It's not about your retirement or what. It's about none of those things. The question on the floor until Jesus comes, will you do my will? And doing my will requires that you must deal with the thing. 2 Corinthians 10. This morning I asked you, is there a thing in your life that you have had? It could be 20 years, 15 years, 40 years, last week. Could have just developed it 2 months ago. That's stopping you from moving forward in God. Let me say this to you, and then we're going to pray. When I got rid of the thing, my thing, I asked God, said, Lord, you know what? People used to laugh at me because here this preacher started preaching. He has this large family, and he had no way to take care of them, no money at all. But didn't have a job, wasn't even working. But I'm preaching houses down. The Lord is using me mightily. Sitting out traveling, different places. People getting healed and delivered and set free. Experiencing deliverance. And behind all that, I still couldn't take care of my family as other men thought I should be able to take care of my family. And that hurt me during that time. I was hurt. I was bruised. I was cut. Folks in my own family. But I said, Lord, I gave my thing up for you. And your word says, whatever I give up for you, you will give me what I need 100-fold. If I got a donation of $200 from preaching, I gave $100 to the church. If I done a funeral and they gave me a love offering, I gave half of it to the church. I said, Cindy, the Lord told me to give half of this to the church. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So time went on. The folks kept on laughing. The Lord gave me something happened in our lives a few years ago. The Lord promised me this is going to come to pass. I said, Lord, they're still laughing. They're still laughing. He says, let them laugh. Because the ones who laugh first will not laugh last. And the time went on. And I got me a good job. Started off in the basement, as they say. And every year in succession, God doubled my salary by $25,000. Every year in succession, God doubled my pay by $25,000. As time went on, those who was laughing, now they begin to question, did that nigga get that money or what? And the Lord said, you better not say one word. Almost 16 years have gone by. Now I'm laughing. All the way to the bank. Now the problems that I used to have, I don't have anymore. And I wait for God to say, Lord, who do you want me to bless today? Is it the man in the street? Is it the single mother? What do you want me to do? Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. The thing that you have, you must remove by faith. I'm not haughty or high-minded. Sitting there, I used to put 35 cents in our gas tank to get to church. And we had a station wagon, I think, 40 cents. But what a wonderful God we serve. He said, I'm going to make you the head and not the tail. I'm going to make you above and not beneath. I'm going to allow you to lend and you shall not borrow. And I ain't got to borrow nothing from nobody. The kingdom is what matters to me at this point. I said, Lord, you are faithful to me, and tell me what you want me to do. This morning, I asked you again. In order to get rid of the thing, you must become transparent. What do you want? Take a neighbor's hand. We're going to pray. And then when we pray, when you release the neighbor's hand, if you don't know the Lord and you want to give your life to the Lord, I invite you to come down to give your life to the Lord. If you want to be baptized, you've never been baptized, we can make preparations for you to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. If you want to be transparent with your thing, you can come and we can pray with you about leaving the thing that has you held captive where you cannot move forward. If you're sick in your body, while you hold your neighbor's hand, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You must have faith for yourself to get healed. I'm not gonna wave no mighty wand and you're gonna automatically get healed. No, your healing rests with you. We be trying to heal folks and they ain't ready to get healed. They blame the, you prayed for me and you said, well, what did you do? Did you go smoke that Newport when you got outside? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We thank you for 2 Corinthians, Lord. We thank you for Hebrews 11, Lord. We thank you that without faith it's impossible to please you, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you said your word that every stronghold, everything that exalted itself against the knowledge of God must come down, Lord. The things that hold your people captive this morning, Lord, I ask you, according to their will, Lord, that you release it from their lives. The things, the barriers, the past issues and problems, Lord, I ask you this morning, according to your will, Father, and according to your people's obedience, Father, release it now in the name of Jesus. Heal them once and for all, Lord, where they can go and be the salt of the earth, Lord, where your people can go into this world and be a light where dark resides, Lord. Now hear my prayer, Lord. Hear the prayers of your people. Answer them. Speak to their hearts, Lord. Holy Spirit, have your way in their lives. Give them what they need. Allow them to meet somebody that they can talk to about their thing, Lord. That they'll be willing to put it down for you and for the wellness of the rest of their lives, Lord. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If there's anyone from those three areas, please come. If there's a thing, see, I'm not one that's going to, I believe that prayer is one of them things that you have to want. I'm not moving to the gift of prophecy this morning, so I'm not going to go there either. Either you want it or you don't. Amen? So I'll wait a minute. You can come. There's anybody here this morning that has something in their life that they say, Lord, I need your help with. I've been carrying it for so long. And I want it out now. Come on. Promise I don't bite. And I can agree with you in faith. And God is with you. Come on. No prophecy needed. I'm not going to stay here just maybe one more minute. If you know that there's something there, don't be afraid. It's okay. It's all right. I stood down here with a pack of Newports in my pocket. I stood down.